This is The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega, and I got a question for you. How do you define American food?
Typically, we think about, you know, the hot dogs, the hamburgers, the barbecue, pizza. And, you know, my mission, I guess, has always been to let's expand that definition.
That's chef and writer Edward Lee. And all this week on The Takeaway, we're exploring food in the United States. And Lee, born to South Korean immigrant parents in Brooklyn, who now owns restaurants in Kentucky and Maryland, has spent a lot of time thinking about what American food really is. In fact, he spent 2 years traveling across the United States, meeting people and eating food that makes up most of our nation's culinary landscape.
To me, American food is the luxury of diversity. You know, what we have in this country is something so precious. I can wake up, have a Jewish breakfast, have an Indian lunch, and have a Mexican dinner. You don't get that in very many countries around the world.
Lee's new book is called Buttermilk Graffiti, A Chef's Journey to Discover America's New Melting Pot Cuisine. And I asked him how he came to take this cross-country journey and what he found along the way.
So, you know, I grew up in a neighborhood near Canarsie, Brooklyn, which was very diverse, right? Jamaicans and Indians, but also Italians and Polish. And I just grew up eating international food, not thinking anything of it. It was just, that's just what you ate. I thought the whole world was like that. And I had a restaurant in New York City when I was in my early 20s. And 9/11 happened, and it forced me to sort of look at things very differently, and I lost my restaurant. And for the first time, I thought, you know what? I could actually go out and discover this thing called America, which I had never really knew about, because growing up in New York or in Brooklyn is not typical America. So I went on these different road trips, and lo and behold, I ended up in Louisville, Kentucky. I drank some bourbon. And I decided to make it home for the next 16 years. So I started to eat country ham and biscuits and gravy and fried chicken and collard greens and all these wonderful foods of the American South that had such a long and twisted history, a very complex cuisine. And I started to go, well, I love collards, but I kind of want to add kimchi to it. And I love barbecue sauce, but I kind of want to add fermented Korean chili paste to it. I didn't do it to sort of force the issue. I just kind of thought, hey, this tastes good to me. And little by little, people also started thinking it was good too. So I just continued down that road. And so I've become the chef that has sort of incorporated, you know, a lot of different experiences from my history in my food. So I really, you know, tell people, like, I don't know what kind of cuisine I cook. I just cook the cuisine of my life, of my history. You know, it's part Korean, it's part global, it's part Southern.
Now, I actually have been to South Korea. I lived there for about a month many, many years ago. When I came back to the United States and ate Korean food here, I noticed, wow, this isn't the same. Do you see similar, like, sort of interpretations of meals or food, whether it be Korean food or other types of food, that you think, what happened there? How did things get lost along the way?
Listen, there's no traditional Korean food in America because we're using American beef, and we're using American chili peppers, and we're using American products, and we're forced to sort of modify the food for a different audience. Authentic Korean food only exists in Korea. Once it winds up on these shores, people have to improvise. They get influenced by their neighbors. They might find that they like American cheese on top of, you know, bulgogi. As any chef or any artist will tell you, like, food is not static. It doesn't, you know, belong in a mausoleum. It transforms. It evolves. It always is making, you know, modifications. And that's what happens. That's the great thing that happens when food comes to this country. It just grows and evolves. And eventually, it ends up looking very different from the food of the homeland. And I always say, like, when I think about American food, I just think about anyone who's ever come to this country and cooked and couldn't find an ingredient and improvised with something else is cooking American food, but looking at it through a foreign lens, right? So you're cooking American food, but with a Korean lens, or you're cooking a food that's American, but with an Italian lens or a French lens or a Nigerian lens. You know, all we do is to struggle to preserve something of the cuisine of our homeland, while at the same time we're trying to assimilate with what's happening in this country. And that's an experience that is very unique to this country.
I also find it interesting that sometimes the food is accepted before the people, if you will, are accepted. Mexican food, if you will, has sort of become part of the quote-unquote American food culture, right? Tacos everywhere, taco trucks. and yet we have this cognitive dissonance, I think, between our love for all food Mexican and this bizarre tension with people who are of Mexican descent or who are immigrants.
Oh, 100%. What I've always found interesting is that when we write about high-end cuisine, we speak about the chefs in very human terms. They're very glowing, they're very warm, very personal writing. And when we talk about tacos or pho or, you know, falafels, we generally find a list where it's like the 10 best tacos you can find for under $5. And we never talk about the people that are actually cooking those tacos, even though there is a human being cooking those tacos. And so part of my thing with the book was that I wanted to see if there were stories out there. I wanted to find the actual people that cooked these humble foods that we all find that we love, but we never really want to get into the people that cook the food.
I'm wondering also about something that I see in New York a lot, and I'm sure you see it around the country, is also the gentrification of food, is what I'm calling it. And what I mean by that is taking a taco or a food item that is from a community that is not yours, essentially, and repurposing it, maybe making it more glam, usually means making it smaller and more expensive. What are your thoughts on that?
Food has always been appropriated. Food has always been, shared and stolen and intermixed. This is part of the history of cuisine. There's no cuisine that has existed in isolation. So when we gentrify food, it's an art. We are elevating it into an art form. And it happens with any elevated art form. People have been complaining or lauding this about music for time beginning. I do believe there's room for both. What happens is as we gentrify food, as we take it out of its original context and make it pretty, it becomes that much more important to actually go back and look at the history of that food.
Edward Lee is the author of Buttermilk Graffiti, A Chef's Journey to Discover America's New Melting Pot Cuisine. Edward, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And you can find some of the recipes featured in Edward Lee's book, along with all of this week's food coverage, at thetakeaway.org/American food. And we want to know, what's your relationship with food like?
This is Jessie calling from Philadelphia. I'm from Peru, and there are a few Peruvian restaurants here in most of the U.S., but there are some popping up, thankfully, in big cities. And some of those big cities, though, because Americans still find Peruvian food a bit foreign, are including more familiar items from other Latin American countries.
My name is Barry. I'm calling from Minneapolis, Minnesota. My family comes from Eastern European Jewish background. My childhood was filled with blintzes, kasha varnishkas, lox cream cheese and bagels, latkes. As an adult, I eat a lot of food from around the world, Asian, Indian, East African, Mexican food are a regular part of my diet.
This is Andrea, and I'm calling from Elkins Park, Pennsylvania. And cooking has become a creative outlet in a structured life for me. Not that dinner time isn't dinner time, but I can freestyle more at the stove than I can at my desk.
Hi, this is Doris from St. Augustine, Florida. Our cooked meals are usually chicken or steak on the grill, potatoes or rice in the microwave, and salad from a bag. I wish I were more adventurous, but we're both basic eaters, and I think that's kind of the extent of my talent.
Tomorrow, we'll talk more about food gentrification and how that's playing out in the United States.